Well, this is take two of my broadcast for this Sunday morning. Take one, I thought, well, it would be kind of nice to show the community of believers, the church, and to have it walking around the plaza and have the church in the background, and then come into the sanctuary. I mean, come into the sanctuary of my office. But in the midst of that, I realized I was broadcasting on my page. And shut it down. And then when I tried to do it again, my connection didn't work. But you know what connection always works? Our connection with God. And we're going to be talking about that today and why our connection with God always works, why we're so interconnected that we are continually in His presence and He's continually in our presence. We looked at last week in the book of Acts, chapter 5. Beginning in chapter 5 and looking back through the first few chapters, how the uncertainty of the day of Peter and the disciples was really not that uncertain. How, although they were persecuted and threatened and beat, they knew the certainty of the resurrection of Jesus was more. Than the uncertainty of this world. And they were able to do what God had called them to do in the midst of all of that. I said there should have been really doubt that would have crept in, really angst that should have been a part of their day because their leader was no longer present. Jesus wasn't physically with them. And once your leader goes, your future's difficult to understand. And somehow we have the mirage. We have the thinking that we can hold our future in a position within our life. We can hold our future with a direction in our life. And the truth of the matter is, no man is promised tomorrow. Nobody knows what day is going to be our final day on this planet. We have a disease that's marched across the continents, but at the same time, we could be healthy and wealthy and living a great life, and something else could take us out of this world. And so we're not promised that. The disciples knew that before they started following Jesus, but after they started following Jesus, they knew who held the future in His hands. And so therefore, the worries and problems of this world weren't a thing, and the powers were against them. The powers that be, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even Rome itself was against them. But that wasn't a threat to them. Because in order to be a threat to you, they have to be able to actually do something. When we know if we have eternity in our hearts and we have eternity in our future, there's nothing anybody can do that would separate us from the love of God. And so we looked at why they were so resolute in their certainty of God and the work that God had done through Jesus Christ. Their certainty was because they saw Him resurrected. Last week was Easter, and as we celebrated Easter, we looked at the messages that Peter preached in Acts. From the beginning of Acts all the way through chapter 5. And if you go back and read those sermons, you read those messages that Peter gave, both to the crowds that were in the public square as well as to the Sanhedrin themselves, what you find with each one of those messages is he goes back to the fact that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is resurrected, whom you tried to crucify, God raised from the dead. And that's what we see over and over and over again. And in Acts chapter 5, we understand that that's the continuing power of the church. Even as the apostles are in prison, then they're freed. And all of that continuing power of the church is because of the presence of God with them. And that's why they could meet daily in the temple and in every house, and that's why they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ, because there was certainty of His resurrection. So we saw that last week. But I want to go a little bit further today to show some more certainties that they had that we can have as well. Well, not only were they certain He was resurrected, but they were certain He is with them. They are certain that he is presently with them. When you go back to Acts chapter 2, we find an amazing thing that happened. It's this, the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come in Acts chapter 2, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven as of a rush, a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There was a manifest presence of God in that upper room. There was a manifest presence of God that could not be denied, that was not there before, but now all of a sudden, with an authenticating sign, the power and presence of God was being demonstrated to them. Demonstrated not only to them, but to all the Jews, all the people that came to Jerusalem from every part of the world saw that. And they saw a presence that was there that was not there before. And they couldn't deny it. You see, that was the promise that Jesus had given the disciples. He said, I must go away and I'll send you another helper, another Alos of the same kind. Jesus was their help in this world. He directed, he taught, he led. All of those were the helps that Jesus gave them to teach them eternal life and to teach them about God. And Jesus says, I'm going to send you another of the same kind as I am. He's going to be of the same kind. In that same chapter of Acts chapter 2, where we see the Holy Spirit coming not only upon, but into the disciples, into the people that were gathered in that upper room. In that same chapter of Acts chapter 2, you get over to verse 33, and you read this, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. There was no confusion in Peter's understanding of what had happened. He didn't have to surmise, well, I think this happened, or possibly this happened. No, he knew what had happened because the recollection of the teachings of Jesus became enlivened because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The understanding of God's ways became alive in that very moment, and he was able to say, let me tell you what happened. God gave us the Holy Spirit. He poured this into our lives, and he gave that understanding in that sermon that he preached to the different people that were gathered there in Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 3, what you find as testimony of the same thing is you find this going on in verse 11 and 12. The lame man, which we preached about a few weeks ago, who was healed, held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them on the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. I'm going over this again because I want you to see the presence and power of the abiding God in the lives of Peter and the disciples. The lame man held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look at us so intently as though by our own power or godliness we had made this lame man walk? So Peter is given full credentials, full credit to the one who made this lame man walk. And Peter's saying, it's not us. We're not the power. We're not the source. We're not the one that did this. Well, who did this? And in verse 16, he answers that and he says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Well, wait a minute. I thought Jesus had ascended. If he's not physically present with them anymore, how can he be the one that is credited with the miracle? Well, because it's in his name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that this man was made well. And that's the power they've been given. Go to Acts chapter 4. Look at verses 29 through 31. In Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Listen to this. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, they have been authorized by God through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to speak, to heal, to teach, to do all that they were doing. And it's that presence that was with them that gave them the certainty just the certainty that He's here. The certainty that we're not alone. Listen, as you've been sheltering in place, I thought about this morning. We're doing all of this to flatten the curve, right? We're probably going to have to flatten some other curves when this is over with. But for this moment in time, as you're sheltering in place, you might be alone. You might not have the social outlets that you've had before. But believer, let me remind you, you are not alone. The presence of God is with you. He is always there. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been given the presence of the Holy Spirit. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit is with you even in that moment. When you get to chapter 5 and you look at verse 19, you see this. They're authenticated that there's certainty because of the resurrection. We talked about that last week, but the authentication of certainty in the lives of these disciples is also because of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And things like even being let out of prison that happened in Acts chapter 5, verse 19. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison's door and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." Listen, if they didn't know God was with them, do you think they would have gone and stood and spoke after being in prison for doing that very same thing? And the fact that God sent an angel of the Lord to open the doors and let them out is an amazing testimony that God knows exactly where you are at all times. Why? Because His presence is also there. And since His presence is also there, He hasn't forgotten about any of us. He knows exactly where we are and what we're going through at all times. Whenever he's freed and he goes and he preaches and he gets drugged back in verse 30, I'm sorry, let me speak straight. In verse 32 of Acts chapter 5, Peter gives this testimony, "And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Obey him in what? Obey him in salvation. Trust him. I'll say the same thing today that I said last week. Jesus is salvation. Trusting Jesus means you believe Jesus. Believing Jesus, it means that you are saved. That's what salvation is. That Jesus, you did do what you said you did, what your word says you did. You came, you lived, you died, you were buried, you resurrected, you ascended. You're coming again one day. I believe that with all my heart, that the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is truth, is truth, is truth. And that is what Peter's saying. We are witnesses to these things. All that I just said to you, we're witnesses to these things. So is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And if God's given you salvation, he's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you salvation because you believed him. That is the work. Not your work, his work that he accomplished on the cross and let the world know so that we could have salvation. And so Jesus didn't just rise to go to the Father and revel in his victory over death. He went to the Father to send the Comforter, to send the Helper of the same kind as what Jesus was. He rose to empower his presence with you and with me, to empower his presence as he's done throughout scriptures, throughout the times of the disciples, throughout all periods of history. God has always been working in and through the church, in and through his saints, empowering his presence by means of the Holy Spirit. We can't take credit for any work we do. If it's a good work and if it's of God, it's all because he not only empowered us, but he carried it out through us. The disciples were certain he was with them. And they were certain that their future was certain. Many of the fear mongers have played on this pandemic that's going around. You see the life insurance commercials going nonstop now. You see the different commercials of financial security, of other kinds of security that people are trying to get you to purchase their product to help you out. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with purchasing any of those products. But the fact of the matter is, those are very short-lived certainties. But they were certain of their future, and that it was certain. They were certain that God had done exactly what he said he was going to do. What does the presence of Jesus give you? It gives you that certainty. It gives you that true certainty that when Jesus says that he's going to build a place for you, and if I go and build a place for you, I'll return, that where I am, you may be also. That's a certainty. When Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that's a certainty. The certainties of salvation are absolute and unchanging. The certainty in death, that your heart doesn't have to be troubled, that you know for certain that he's got a place that he's prepared. The certainty that in life, where he says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly in John 10, verse 10. The fact is, life can be lived against the backdrop of certainty that you don't have to worry and wonder about anything. How many times in Scripture are we told to rejoice? How do you rejoice if you're worried and troubled? It doesn't go hand in hand with each other. When you live your life against the backdrop of certainty, you can be free to rejoice. You can be free to let worry go away. You can be free to let regrets walk past where they belong. You can be free to live in the moment that God has given you right here and now, because truly the moment you're living in right now is the only life that you have. And therefore, the freedom that we have to do that is against the backdrop of that certainty of our future. Certainty in death, certainty in life. The empty tomb gives us that certainty that Jesus is alive. The promise of the Holy Spirit gives us that certainty that Jesus is with us. The ascension of Jesus gives us that certainty that our future is secure, and the life that we live is supposed to be lived against that backdrop of certainty so that we can live our life to the fullest, more abundantly than we otherwise could. Well, I know that's the truth, because there's been times that the power of the Holy Spirit and presence of the Holy Spirit has so enlivened me that even when situations were dim, I knew the joy of the Lord. There's been other times where I've trusted on my own resources and my own power, which is none. And I've even had abysmal days in the midst of plenty. The fact of the matter is, the presence and power of the Lord has been given to you, believer. To live in that strength means that you're abiding. You're walking with God through everything. He's walking with you, but are you walking with him? To be walking with him means to abide in the vine and to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say, not to quench by doing your own thing, but to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. My friends, believe in Jesus, not only for salvation, but for life and life to its fullest. I know that I normally post these, or I started posting this last week during the live time of church, but I wanted to go ahead and get this message out there this morning. I hope it blessed you, and I hope you're walking with him daily. He is walking with you, believer. Let me pray with you. Father, we love you. We thank you for all you've given us. We thank you especially for the certainty we have in all times. It's not certainty in life insurance. It's not certainty in politics. It's not certainty in this world that we live in. But the certainty that we have in all times is more solid than anything else we can find, because God, you are the one who spoke it. You are the one who gave it. You are the one who carries it out, the certainty of salvation. Therefore, we come, Father, and we thank you for that. And pray, God, that we would simply abide, so that your certainty is not, so that your certainty that you've given us is not overcome by the wicked one. That, Father, we don't allow Satan to have that foothold, and we don't allow ourselves to fall victim to the world around us. We are conquerors in Christ, and may we walk in that way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, for those of you who joined me early this morning, thank you for joining me. We're going to keep this up on Facebook, and we're going to put it on YouTube so you can share it with others. And when we get back together, I think we're going to have a praise fest. I think we want to spend some time sharing what God has done in each of our lives throughout this time. So until we know what's going on there, we know what's going on here. God is still reigning and ruling on the thrones of the children of God. God bless you.